We will start the next panel, and we may be interrupted by a series of votes on the floor, but let's try to start the questions, and we'll call to the witness table the Honorable Bill Ayal, Chairman of the Cowlitz Indian Tribe, Longview, Washington, the Honorable Janice Mabee, Chairman of the Sauk Sioux Atoll Indian Tribe, Darrington, Washington, the Honorable Sandra Kleinberger, Chairwoman, Stillaquamish Tribe of Indians, Arlington, Washington, the Honorable Richard Blumenthal, Attorney General, Office of the Attorney General, Hartford, Connecticut, Mr. Stephen Woodside, Sonoma County, Somerset, on behalf of the California State Association of Counties, Sacramento, California, Mr. Riaz Kanji of Kanji and Katzen, on behalf of the Grand Traverse Band of Ottawa and Chippewa Indians in Michigan. And they may step forward and proceed in the order in which I called their names.
Good morning, Mr. Kildee, Ranking Member Hastings, and honorable members of the Committee on Natural Resources. My name is William Mayall. I'm chairman of the Cowlitz Indian Tribe in Washington State. I want to thank you for the opportunity to talk to you about the havoc that the Supreme Court caused with its decision on Carcieri versus Salazar. It is not just for the Cowlitz Indian Tribe, but for landless and disadvantaged tribes that I urge Congress and the Department of Interior to take decisive action to make clear that all federally recognized tribes will be treated equally under the Indian Reorganization Act. The Constitution makes clear that all Indian tribes are under the jurisdiction of the United States Congress, including the meaning that they are under at all times. Further, federal statutory and case law makes clear that the tribe is subject to Congress's jurisdiction, even if formal federal recognition has not been extended to that tribe. Finally, the Congress amended the IRA in 1994 explicitly to instruct the federal agencies to treat all tribes equally under the law. Despite all these well-established legal principles, the Carcieri decision has caused such widespread confusion and consternation that Interior appears to have suspended all fee to trust applications, the processing of those, for all tribes that were not formally recognized in 1934. For a landless tribe like the Cowlitz, this has been a devastating turn of events. It is important to know a few historical facts about my tribe. We were first recognized by the United States in land cession treaty negotiations in 1855. Because my ancestors refused to move to another tribe's reservation in another part of the state of Washington, the United States extinguished all of our Aboriginal title without reserving any land for our tribe. In the 1930s, the BIA refused to let us adopt an IRA constitution because we had no reservation. As a result, over the course of time, the BIA came to classify us as an unrecognized tribe, even though we had a long, continuous history of interaction with Congress and Interior. In 1977, we petitioned Interior to restore our recognition. After a 25-year administrative ordeal, in January 2002, we were restored to federal recognition through the federal acknowledgement process. On the same day, we asked Interior to use its authority under the IRA to acquire trust land so the tribe could have its own reservation. In January this year, after having spent 7 years and millions of borrowed dollars to navigate the fee to trust and reservation proclamation processes, my tribe's applications were finally ready to go. A month later, the Supreme Court handed down the Carcieri decision. It's been a devastating experience. In June, we submitted a lengthy analysis demonstrating that, as a matter of law, my tribe was under federal jurisdiction when the IRA was enacted in 1934. Even though we were not formally recognized at that time, we submitted over 260 federal records demonstrating that not only the federal government had jurisdiction as a matter of legal matter, but also that Interior was in fact exercising jurisdiction during that time period. Yet in 5 months since we've made that submission, we have heard very little from Interior, and we nearly lost hope in resolving the carcerary debacle is one of Interior's priorities. That is difficult to see. While we wait a decision, interest on the money we had to borrow to buy land and complete the fee to trust process continues to accrue at an alarming rate. Further, banks and lenders have become wary of loaning money, any new money, to tribes unrecognized in 1934 because of the uncertainty carcerary has created. Without the help of Congress and Interior, our debts will continue to mount. Our ability to exercise true self-determination will continue to be compromised. Soon another year will pass, and we will lose more elders who, like my predecessor, Chairman John Barnett, he passed away without having set foot on a reservation, a Cowlitz reservation. Having played by the rules for so many years, with our pending application, it's fundamentally unfair to change the rules for our tribe now. If Congress and Interior fail to address the very real mischief caused by carcerary, the Cowlitz tribe may forever be landless and forever be treated as a second-class tribe by the very federal government that's supposed to act as its trustee. I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you, sir.
Mr. ID, we very much appreciate your testimony. We have a problem on the floor right now. We'll have a series of votes starting now, and there'll be four votes, I believe. Sometimes we talk between votes, so it'll probably be an hour. And rather than to have you take an early lunch or something like that, I think we'll stand in recess for an hour. I apologize for that, but that's the congressional way down here. We just never know when we're going to have votes on the floor. So I apologize for that, but we'll be back at least within an hour to resume this hearing. And I thank you for your indulgence.